First of all, it says, his love endures forever. And endures means it just keeps going on. So we're going to hear that all the way through the psalm. Okay? So, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him alone who does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
His love endures forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the desert.
His love endures forever.
Who struck down great kings.
His love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
His love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
His love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
An inheritance to his servant Israel.
His love endures forever.
To the one who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
And who gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
One of the things we try and do as a parent is to teach our children manners. We try and teach them to say thank you. I have a few tactics to use when I give something to children and they don't say thank you. I might hand it to them and they just kind of hold on to it. And they kind of... until they say thank you. When they say thank you, I'll give it to them. Or I might go... and then I'll get a thank you. Or I might say, you don't really want it, do you? One that I find quite amusing is what I call manners roulette. You hand it to the child and the child doesn't say thank you and you kind of go, what do you say? And the child goes, please, thank you, sorry. and hopefully one of them will be right. And so today, few people... Say thank you. And I think it's because we don't feel thankful. We don't think of others. And because we have a lot, we think we'll always have a lot. So we don't feel thankful, and so we don't say thank you. In South Africa, the Xhosa children don't say thank you to you when you give them something. But they're not being rude because they don't say thank you. They do thank you. So if you're giving out sweets to a group of children in South Africa and you give it to the English kids, you give them a sweet and they'll go, usually they'll say thank you. Or you give it to an Afrikaans child, they'll say dankie. And you give it to a Xhosa child and he won't say anything. But he'll cup his hands like this and he'll accept it like this. And what he's saying is, look, I don't have anything of what you're offering me. I really appreciate that you're giving it to me. Thank you for filling the space of nothing. Thank you for what you have given me. It's a very respectful way of doing thank you. And sometimes we can say thank you without actually being thankful. We can say thank you like robots. I am just saying thank you because my mom and dad said I must say thank you. And we say it like that because we know if we don't say thank you, we're not going to get any more. That's not really being thankful. Being thankful means to really mean it when you say thank you. When we really appreciate what someone has done for us. We know that it might have cost them lots of money, time or effort. Or maybe because they're helping us, they couldn't do something they wanted to do. And so because we're thankful, we say thank you. And the psalm that we read a little bit earlier, Psalm 136, do you know it doesn't tell us to say thank you? But it does tell us to be thankful to God. It doesn't want us to just say thank you, but to be thankful to God. And then it doesn't just say that we must be thankful. You must be thankful. It gives us a whole bunch of really good reasons why we can be thankful and why we should be thankful. When I was a little boy, growing up in South Africa, my great uncle, that's my dad's uncle, every time he came and visited, he'd give each of the boys, 5 rand. Now, that's not a lot of money. In today's equivalent, that's about 27p. It's not a lot of money today, and it wasn't a lot of money then. And we weren't really thankful for this 27p that Uncle George would come and give us. And it was kind of a little bit of a joke amongst the three of us, and Uncle George is coming with his 27p. But then my dad sat us down one day. I still remember, we sat on our beds, he got all three of us together, and he explained to us that Uncle George didn't really have a lot of money himself. But he gave us the 5 rand, the 27p, because he loved us very, very much. And because he wanted to give us the joy of saving and spending money, because when he was a child, he didn't have that opportunity. Well, after that, we became really, really thankful. Because we knew where it came from, and we knew the cost that it was to Uncle George. And so we said thank you, and we meant it. We always said thank you like robots, but from then on we said thank you because we meant it. Psalms are songs or poems that are written to us to teach us about God and to help us explain in words what's going on in our hearts. And often the first part and the last part of a psalm tell us what the psalm is going to be about. So hopefully you've still got your Bibles with you. If you don't have one you'd like to follow, if you put up your hand, maybe somebody will drop one off for you. But back in Psalm 136, the first and the last part of this psalm tell us what the psalm is going to be about. Take a look at verses 1 to 3. This is what it says. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And then the last verse, verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. The psalm wants to teach us what we must be thankful to God for. That's what's going on here. We must be thankful. But we mustn't be thankful like robots. We must be thankful because, and then it gives us 6 reasons to be really thankful to God. And each of them are going to have a little action that goes with it. And children, this is your clue. This will be one of the big questions I'll ask you at the end if you come for a question to get a penguin chocolate. So here we go. The first reason that the psalm tells us that we need to give thanks to God is because God is good. That's a silly sign to show God is good, but that's what we all use because I think it's the best we got. God is good. That means that he can't and he won't ever do anything bad. It's impossible for God to do something bad. He is always good all of the time. Everybody else messes up sometimes. Guys, let me tell you, you and me, even the people we look up to, teachers, parents, teenagers, politicians, doctors, and pastors, we all mess up sometimes. But Psalm 136 tells us God is good. He never does anything bad. And so we can give thanks to God because He is good. It says so in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. God is good. And secondly, we should give thanks to God because God is great. God is great. That means that there isn't anybody that is greater than God. Nobody is better than He is. He is amazing, indescribable, like we sang earlier. That means that words can't explain just how amazing and how great God is. He is more amazing than the fake gods of the other nations. He is more amazing than any rulers, because He is the God of heaven. He is the best of the best. Verse 2 tells us, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And then verse 6, give thanks to the God of heaven, because His love endures forever. So we learn that God is good. And we learn that God is great. And thirdly, we should thank God for everything He created. Verse 4 says, to Him who alone does great wonders, His love endures forever. The great wonders are the things that He has created. Verse 5 carries on. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, His love endures forever. And then I skip verse 8. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The Bible tells us that God made everything. He made everything so we can see how awesome He is and that we can know what He is like. But the Bible also tells us that God made the world, that God made everything for us to enjoy and to live in and to rule and look after. We should be thankful that the world He created is amazing. Did you know that if the earth was just a little bit closer to the sun, the earth would burn up? And if we were just a little bit further away from the sun, we'd all be frozen. But we don't have to worry because God put it in just the right place. The perfect place. He planned where He wanted it to be, and then He put it exactly over there. God made everything exactly the way He wanted it should be, and we should thank God for everything that He has created. So God is good, and God is great, and God has created everything. And then verses 10 to 24 reminds God's people that He saved them. They must be thankful that He saved them. We should be thankful that He saves us too. That is, if we are His people. That should make us ask two questions. One, what do we need saving from? And two, how do we know if we are His people? The fourth thing we see is that God saves His people. So here we go. What do we need saving from? This is somebody rescuing somebody from the sea, by the way, just in case you're not quite following where I'm going with that. We've already said that God is good and never does anything wrong. But people, you and me, we're not like that. We mess up all the time. We get things wrong. We think we know better, but actually we don't. We think we can do things by ourselves, and so we try, but we mess them up. And the Bible calls this sin, trying to do things our own way instead of God's way, ignoring God and thinking that we know what is best. But remember who made the world. God made the world. It's His world. And when we sin and when we go against Him, we become His enemies because we're rebelling against Him. And so God must punish people that rebel against Him. He is a just God. He can't leave guilty people unpunished. And so we need saving from His fair punishment. And the punishment we deserve is to experience a horrible, real place, away from everyone we love forever. And that's what we need saving. That's what we need saving from. And the second question was, how do we know if we are God's people? You see, God's people are the ones that know that God is good, that know that God is great, that know that God created everything and is the ruler of the world. And they know that they need saving. So they love Him and trust Him. You see, you're part of God's people if you love and you trust Him. If you stop rebelling against Him and try to live His way and not your own. I wonder if you know whether or not you're part of God's people. Are you one of God's people? And are you certain about that? It's worth thinking about. See, it's all right to say, I'm God's friend, but would God recognize you as His friend? As somebody that loves Him and trusts Him? It really is worth thinking about. Fifthly, we should thank God because He gives food to every creature. Verse 25 says this, and who gives food to every creature, His love endures forever. We can thank God for this, especially today as we celebrate harvest. We're saying thank you to God for giving us food. Thank you, God, for looking after us. Now, people do go hungry in the world. But the problem isn't that there isn't enough food. That's not the problem. There's plenty of food in the world. The problem is that people waste food. People don't share it like we should. Now, I know it's far, far more complicated. I know it's far more complicated than that. But the problem is people and not the amount of food that we have in this world. People starve because people treat people badly. People starve because people don't look after other people. People starve because they don't look after themselves. People starve because people are cruel. We should thank God for giving food to every creature. That's people and animals. God gives enough food for everyone. And so the psalm has already given us five reasons that we can give thanks to God. First one, God is good. And God is great. God is the creator, ruler of all things. God saves and God feeds. And the last reason I think is obvious, isn't it? We've already said it 26 times as we read the psalm. Is God's love endures forever. We can give thanks to God because His love endures forever. God's love for His people will never end. Now, it's not nice when something runs out. I've got a bunch of batteries over here. The problem with these batteries is they're all flat. They're all dead. Most of the time when these batteries have gone flat, I've heard one of my boys go, oh no, as they're playing with whatever they're doing and the batteries die. It's not nice when something runs out, when you're playing on your mobile phone or your tablet or you're busy following your sat-nav on your phone or whatever, and then it dies when you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. That's not a good thing for something to run out, or your pocket money or your bank account. Those are bad things to run out. God's love will never, ever run out. It'll endure forever. It will never end. And you have never been loved more or better than the way that God loves you. The true story in the Bible is the best love story ever written. Now, when my wife and I go and watch movies, we don't do that very often, we always have a bit of a discussion because I want to watch the action movies and Claudine wants to watch the romantic comedies. So we compromise and we watch the romantic comedies. But I love the story in the Bible. I love the love story of the Bible. God who is great and God who is good, the creator of everything, he saves me, he feeds me, and he loves me. The Bible tells us that God loves everyone in the world that he created. But he doesn't love everyone the same way he loves his people. God has a special love for his people. And his love for the world is shown that he invites everybody to be his people, to love him, to trust him, and to stop rebelling against him. And those that do become his people, and he will love them forever. His love endures forever. So as we think today about all the things we can be thankful for, we can be thankful to God. We can be thankful for his ongoing goodness to us. We can be thankful for who he is, that he is a great God. There isn't anything better than him. We can be thankful to him for the world and the universe that he created. We can be thankful that he feeds us. We can be thankful that he saves us. And we can be thankful that he loves us very much, and his love endures forever.